Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start in Dallas in a sit-down interview with Kimberly Martin of Yahoo Sports. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott did not dodge the $40 million question.
Are you a $40 million quarterback?
You tell me.
I'm asking you. You're the one that, it's your
You're
contract.
You're the prognosticator.
I'm not the one writing the checks, though.
Yeah, I'm not either. If it's my call to write it, yeah, no telling. I mean, let's be honest, right?
Wow. Let's be honest. That is not a dodge. But let me let Dak finish before I offer an opinion.
I mean, like I said before, though, I mean, I trust my agent. I trust the Cowboys. Something will get done. We're not going to sit here and put a number on it. Something will happen.
Oh, he put a number on it, $40 million. And I must give Kimberly Martin a ton of credit. She did a great job with this interview. She asked the right questions. She asked them in a fair way, and she was persistent. You can argue that Martin put the $40 million number in Dak's mouth by asking whether he's a $40 million quarterback, but Dak could have spit that number out of his mouth without ever giving it legitimacy. He could have easily said that that's a question for the Cowboys and my agent. I play football. Instead, he said in his mind he'd write that check. He's clearly speaking $40 million into existence. It's the LeVar Ball approach to negotiating. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the approach, especially when you're coming off an 8-8 season, your team has a new head coach, and you're basically putting yourself in the same lane as Patrick Mahomes. Dak has been in a year-long stare-down with Jerry Jones over money, and I believe Dak blinked in this interview. He lost his humility. His confidence is actually frustration disguised as bravado. He thinks he's answered every question about whether he's a franchise quarterback. He's exceeded all expectations. It's time to cash that lottery ticket. He's starting to understand fully that Jerry Jones wants to withhold a percentage of Dak's lotto winnings because the Cowboys aren't convinced Dak is on the same level as the other young elite quarterbacks. It's frustrating. It's disconcerting. It makes Dak believe Jerry Jones and others are critics, naysayers, doubters.
When you're not given a contract, it's somewhat that same way. You're doubted, right? So you want to go prove yourself, and that's simply what I did. I bet it on myself, and we're to this point now. The talking heads, the prognosticators, they don't mean anything, and they don't play an effect into the way I play.
I'm one of the people seen as a Dak critic. I'm not. I think Dak is terrific. The way he carries himself and the way he's played as a fourth-round pick, I just disagree about his value at the moment. I'd pay him a little less than $30 million right now. I think that salary protects him as a leader in the locker room among his peers, and I think that's what he's earned. 2 years from now, if he continues to progress, he might be worth $40 million based on what we've seen so far. Dak isn't worth anywhere near $40 million. Pay him anywhere close to that, you're inviting his teammates to turn on him. Mm. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington and former Cowboys quarterback and Super Bowl champion Steve Berline. Marcellus, get us rolling.
Yes.
Like how Dak answered the $40 million question.
Didn't like it? I loved it. Think about Dak Prescott, man. First and foremost, him going out there and saying, I'm betting on myself once again. This is something I used to talk to a lot of young players about. Reminding them that since the age of 8 for most of them guys playing Pop Warner football, you've been betting on yourself every single year. Why do you get into your mid-20s around the contract year and get scared of betting on yourself just one more time? Because they will reap the rewards, and Dak Prescott understands that. Respect for him knowing that. And then it's good to see that he has a number in his head. He knows the Cowboys have a number in their head. But I'm a CAA client, brother. I've been to all the seminars. I know how this negotiation plays out. I am not going to set my number by telling you what my market looks like because, one, it may be too high, but worse, it could be too low. So I'm not going to set this market. I'm going to let the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to let my agency talk this through behind closed doors, but give you an entertaining interview, which he was able to sound polished, but maneuver in a way that even Russell Wilson can't do, because Russell Wilson would stay on the railroad and say all the right things. I like Dak's personality. I could get off script and keep it still polished and represent myself well.
I think it was fine. I agree with you. What is he supposed to say? No, I'm not a $40 million quarterback.
Right,
I mean, you can none of us would say that, but I think it was totally fine, and I think he kept his distance by not getting into any more details. I think he enhanced the dialogue, kept the dialogue going by not diffusing the dialogue and not trying to dodge. He just said, if I'm writing the check, sure, I'm betting on myself. I'm worth that. But I agree with you, Witt, that I don't think he really is a $40 million quarterback. I think that there's a lot of we can get into a lot of different topics as far as that goes, but I do feel like he handled this particular situation the right way.
I say no. And the reason why I say no is because it is a yes. And that might seem confusing, but I'm going to explain to you.
Let's do it.
The reason why I say no is because he should have totally owned it, right? When she asked the question, when Kimberly Martin asked the question and he said, well, what do you think? You're not saying what do you think for her to say no, right? That's an ego thing. That's driven by ego. You're not going to sit there and be like, she's going to say no. So when he set it up that way and she didn't answer it, then at that point, he should have just owned it. Just own it. Don't be cryptic because you played into it. So you're already there. So go ahead and own it. Like, I'm not going to put a number on it, but it's somewhere in and around there. I've bet on myself this far. I don't feel as though I need to sugarcoat it anymore. You could tell by the confidence that he exuded while he was doing the interview that that's what he was feeling. So go ahead and own it. Don't halfway own it. Go ahead and own it.
I think you don't own it because you want to play hot potato, because right now it's this mythical number out there, $40 million, that we all have made up, imagined, and created our own soap opera around. And he's like, oh, you're one of the people that wrote that script. I want to know what you think. Oh, don't back out now. How does the heat feel when you're the one that actually sets the table and now I'm asking you to eat what you just made? And she didn't do that, so Dak then became
professional. But he set up the range. He accepted the range. When she said 40 million, he said, well, what do you think?
Right.
He's now accepting of the range. So he didn't have to say, yes, 40 is my number,
right,
but own it. That's my range. I trust in the Cowboys and my agency to get us into that range.
And now what he's done is given people, including his teammates and fan base, to start evaluating him on the $40 million number. Steve Berline's already said it. I've certainly said it. Who, 40, are you kidding me? That's Patrick Mahomes' money. You're not Patrick Mahomes. And again, that sounds like harsh criticism of Dak. I like Dak. I think he's done a great job. I think he handles himself great. But if he thinks he's in Patrick Mahomes' lane, he's delusional.
Well, maybe he's delusional, Whip, because the way he answered that question, the way he conducted himself in that interview, he's taking ownership of what he wants his future to look like now. It's no more, like you said, he exposed being cocky or being confident. No, maybe that's what he's always been, and he's been playing that game, and now he's not playing that anymore.
It's a false preservative.
It may be.
No, it's not actually, because he knows that the evaluation is not just based on how great you are. Do you have just the numbers? Do you just pass the eyeball test? Do you have all the accolades? It's also next man up can get you to the front of the line based on potential. Two things get you paid in the NFL, and they both are P's, potential and production. And he still has an upside that hasn't been reached, in part because now he's going to be with a quarterback whisperer in Mike McCarthy. So that's part of it. He had a career year with a coach that we said wasn't adequate. Therefore, the coach gets fired. So Dak Prescott can use your imagination against you and say, yes, I am worth
it. There's a strong possibility. Somebody let him in on that, too.
Yeah.
Because there was a different confidence level that he had in that interview. Somebody might have let him in.
Y'all know how this works. That interview was set up.
Of course.
And it was, he wanted to be asked that question.
He knew it was coming.
Of course he did. He wants to put it, and again, that's what I'm saying. If you're telling me that them 52 other guys in the Cowboys locker room and how many ever million Cowboy fans are out there, who amongst that group, the 52 guys in the locker room and the 10 million Cowboy fans out there think, oh, he's a $40 million quarterback?
I will say one thing. Of all the times I've seen a guy get paid, and some of them, we were like, You got that? But it was always laced in either jest or lighthearted. Even when I got paid and some people was like, damn, you hit him over the head. That's the cliche in the locker room. I never seen it where it's like, we are now coming to you under attack.
McNabb.
How long?
That was T.O.
How long did they talk to you before you got your deal done?
One day.
So how long was there a buildup to you getting that big contract?
Oh, the whole free agency, everybody knew I was going to get the most.
Free agency.
Yeah, free agency. Good point.
This has been a whole entire season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So those people in the locker room know something's coming. They've already been made aware of it. Like,
and big.
No, I think they know something's coming, but everybody's wondering, including Dak, where is it going to land? And people are going to react to the landing.
Well, it's going
to
last another year. I think if you ask me, they're
not smart if it lasts another year.
He's going to get the franchise tag in one way or another, mm-hmm. and he's going to end up signing and playing into that. It's very similar to the Kirk Cousins situation. Yeah. What he went through with Washington for a couple years before they finally let him go for nothing, but he made a lot of money on that franchise tag. But the Redskins obviously did not believe that he was worthy of that long-term contract.
They let him go for free.
Then they made a trade and brought in Alex Smith.
Yep. No, I'm not arguing Kirk Cousins. I'm arguing that I don't think that this is Dak Prescott's situation.
They both have put up big numbers, but not enough big wins. They're not committed to the fact that he can win.
You got to look at Dak's demeanor in this interview. Read his body language and how he's answering the question.
And what he said at the Super Bowl. Say, I won't be around a star unless they sign me.
Come on, man.
Again, it's a little different, man.
Frustration has set it in, and part of the frustration is I think Dak believes he has this big long line of critics out there, and I don't think he has critics. I could be wrong and crazy. I don't think he has critics. I think he has people that disagree about his value.
Mm. Woo! I like that. That was some wordplay.
That was some wordplay.
Oh, you know what? And you said you raised your hand saying you probably are perceived as one
critic,
of those,
yeah.
Right? But you know what? I think you are a critic. I think there are a long line of people behind you, Jason, that are critics of him because the goalposts keep moving when it comes to the assessment of Dak Prescott. So at first, we were like, he's a fourth rounder. We don't expect much. Oh, you start your rookie year and win 13 games? Expectations change. Then we started to say, we move the expectations, goalposts move. All of a sudden we say, but you look a little marginal at the position. You don't have numbers. The team success is there. You're not winning a Super Bowl, but you're winning games. But where are your numbers? Then Dak goes out there and finally gets to a career high in numbers. Guess what we do then? But your team was 8-8. Where's your
problem.
Team success?
But that's where the problem lies. The problem is you cannot justify paying him franchise quarterback money if he's not getting close enough to the Super Bowl.
Teacher, you fell right
come
into my – you
Go
know
ahead.
I do my homework.
I got four kids, but
I do my homework. I have three names. The last three guys who became the highest paid in the NFL, which is the quarterback position, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Jimmy G. I went the whole spectrum, so you can't beat me up. Do you know when they got paid? I'm not talking about body of work because no one does that for Dak. We don't care about he has second most wins. And last year he was second in passing yards. So let's just say when you get paid. You don't get paid, as LeVar says, when you come off a bad year. Aaron Rodgers got paid when they didn't make the playoffs and he was 4-3.
Did he have a Super Bowl on his resume?
I knew you were going to do this. So Carson Wentz. You ready for Carson Wentz? 5-6. And of course, we know he ain't playing in no playoffs or in January. And then Jimmy G, 5-0, no playoffs. So stop with this arrival date of when you get paid has to correlate to team success. Once again, we move the goalposts when it comes to Dak Prescott. Drop that mic.
My rebuttal to that would be Aaron Rodgers has a Super Bowl. And when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, sometimes the buying a home, purchasing power is being in the right place at the right time.
You think
takes one person
with a star on your helmet and balling is not at the right place?
I don't think he's in the right place at the right time. And if he were, he would already got the contract that he thought he was deserving of. So right now,
with a new coach, great coach, this is not the right place, right time.
That could be working against him because those coaches want to see, is this the guy that I want to hang my hat on trying to win as a Dallas guy? And this could be Mike McCarthy's last opportunity as a head coach.
No matter how you look at it, there is doubt in that organization about whether he can get them where they want to go.
That's
the hesitation.
That's reality.
That is reality. They're hesitating.
You're right.
Can he get us there or not? And I guarantee you Mike McCarthy's coming in and saying, I don't want to commit to this guy as my quarterback for the next 5 years until I see him work up close and personal. Yeah. We're not going to do it.
And the point that you just made, that doubt that's there, Green Bay didn't have that doubt about Aaron Rodgers. Right or wrong, the 49ers didn't have that doubt about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh.
And he carried him to a Super Bowl.
So true.
Right or wrong, Philadelphia doesn't have that doubt about Carson Wentz. Ooh. They just don't. Maybe they should, but they don't.
Teacher, got one more. Okay, did some more homework. I remember a young Tom Brady, who Eric Mangini has come on this show and said, in the beginning, we had doubt about Tom Brady. To the tune, the coaching staff used to bet on plays it will be incomplete or completed. They had that much doubt. Tom Brady in his young years, because he won two Super Bowls in his first 4 years, we praised him and said how amazing he was. Look at his numbers comparison to Dak Prescott.
It was a different game.
But wins and losses ain't a different game.
No, that's true.
Okay, let's get off this. That. So there's not a category where you can say Tom Brady, who was lauded as the great.
Super Bowls, that's a number.
I respect
that's
that.
That's a very
but
real
But it shouldn't
number.
Inflate you, the prospect.
Yes, it should.
You know what happens when what happens when we see Super Bowl winners and we poach the talent and take them from there because they got inflated value?
They're not
value?
As good. They're not as good.
So stop inflating young
but
Tom Brady.
The point is that young you got to get to the point of where you can have inflated value, and he hasn't got to
are
that
Are you really
yet.
Comparing him to Tom Brady?
Oh, he was better in his first 4 years than Tom Brady was. You want to argue this?
Well, you can.
I saw it. I played against it.
What about winning the game? Getting it done?
Oh, that's great. But I'm saying, what did you do to contribute to that win?
Contributed to the culture.
Rolled the defense, rolled the running game, rolled the special teams.
Making big plays at big times.
I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady. Please do not do this.
Yes, you are.
I'm just saying, there was a Tuck rule.
Got a Tom Brady critic over here.
How did Tuck rule work? How did Tuck rule work? 30 minutes.
I'm a Dak critic. He's a Tom Brady critic.
That was a fumble.
That was a fumble.
Come on, man. Come on, now.
Listen, man. Jerry Jones, the Cowboys, Jason Whitlock, we value Dak Prescott.
Just not as much as he values himself.
And that happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. We're going to find out in Vegas next week.
Almost every woman I've dated.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Everybody has to do taxes, and yet not everybody feels comfortable doing taxes, which doesn't seem right, especially when you consider all the amazing things these same people accomplish every day of their lives. TurboTax believes that, with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything, yes, even taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you personal access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are there for you even on nights and weekends. And they're happy to go through your return with you line by line to double check that you've done everything right, so you can be sure to get your best possible refund and feel 100% confident in your taxes. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
Joining us now is Fox Sports NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh. Time now for a big story. Let's move to New Orleans, where Taysom Hill got a lot of love this season with some exciting plays running and throwing the ball for Sean Payton. But now, one of Hill's fans may have gone a little too far, with former Saints special teams coach Mike Westhoff saying Hill is actually a better passer than Lamar Jackson. For comparison's sake, Lamar just had an MVP season, while Hill has thrown just 15 passes in his entire NFL career, completing 7 for 169 yards with 0 touchdowns and 1 pick and a passer rating of 60. Is saying Taysom Hill throws better than Lamar Jackson a ridiculous statement?
Yeah. And I think we're going to be unanimous up here, I hope. What's beyond ridiculous? What would Mike Tyson say right now? Ludicrous. Ludicrous. Like, this is the most layup conversation we've ever had. What the hell are you talking about? What are you doing? You're comparing Taysom in practice to, like, Lamar in the game and saying, you know what? Taysom, when you turn the lights off, he's amazing. And all the reps he gets in practice, 15 reps in your career throwing the football, and we're comparing it to a guy who went out there and had 5 touchdowns in 3 different games, unanimous MVP. I'm not going to hog up too much time, y'all. This is just ludicrous.
Yeah, it's disrespectful, honestly.
Say it.
For him to say, Sean Payton don't even believe that, because when Drew Brees got hurt, they didn't play Taysom Hill.
Mm.
They played Teddy Bridgewater. So if he thought Taysom Hill was that guy, when Brees got hurt, why didn't he insert him into the lineup and say, let me show everybody what Taysom Hill can do? I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe him and Taysom Hill had a great relationship because he was the PP on the punt team and he could bring so much to this special teams core that he wants to see him succeed, and he's just going to talk good about him. But ludicrous, disrespectful, ridiculous. I don't know what adjective you want to come up with.
Well, let's take it literally. It's a ridiculous statement. Now, I'm giving the coach the benefit of the doubt here, saying something stupid, something that could be interpreted incorrectly. But any coach could sit there and say, yeah, he throws a nice ball. He throws a nicer ball than Lamar Jackson. That, to me, that's not saying anything other than, yeah, the kid's got a great arm. He can throw a nice ball. Mm. We have not seen Taysom Hill play quarterback in the NFL or anywhere. And guess what? We never will see Taysom Hill play quarterback in the NFL.
Whoa.
As a quarterback, because he's not a quarterback. He's an all-around athlete. He's a multi-purpose player. Hmm. And he can do whatever you ask him to do, but he's never going to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Not a starter.
No.
Never will put him in that position.
I don't put him in that category.
And I know. Came to the NFL at 26. Yeah.
And he throws a nice ball. But my question to this coach is, how much have you seen Lamar Jackson throw the football? Have you not seen him develop from year one to year two? Do you not see that he's coachable, he's getting better? But just the fact that he can throw a nice football, that's all he's saying, really, in my opinion. I'm not saying – I don't read anything into it about him being a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. If he said that, he deserves to be – shun.
You're on fertile territory. Yeah, it's a ridiculous statement. He needs to put some context around it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get to why, though. He's a special teams coach, Taysom Hill special. They've obviously got some sort of connection. And so it's almost like listening to a dad talk about his son. And I say this all the time about my dad and how much he loved me and his bias. Jeff George and I were on the same high school football team, grew up together. My dad was adamant with me that I was a better player than Jeff George and I didn't get the credit that I deserved and that I should have been on these All-American teams, blah, blah, blah. Right. Adamant. So people's bias can make them say ridiculous things. The other thing where I will defend Westhoff slightly is you can get caught up, because I tend to do this because I grew up with Jeff George. I like a ball that comes out of a hand so beautifully that you're just like, oh, my God, that's the prettiest. And so I've never been a Bernie Kosar fan. I don't like Phillip Rivers. I don't like people with awkward throwing motions.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, the way the ball comes out of his hands is a bit awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have that bias and if you're not smart enough to go, well, man, even though I don't have that bias, Bernie Kosar did some nice things. Phillip Rivers has done some really nice things. Lamar Jackson just won MVP, just led the league in touchdown passes.
Yeah.
I don't care if he throws it behind his back.
Right.
It's effective.
It's effective. Okay, let me dig down with you. Let's go into this whole. You still don't say better thrower. You could say it's a prettier ball. Like, you've been around too much football. What is he, 72 years old? Come on, coach. Coach tripping. Like, that's just how you got to play this. Technique also is a means to an end, and a lot of people get caught up in that. They think that if it doesn't look technically sound or if it doesn't look pretty, then it's not effective. We've seen many a guy, whether it's basketball with a, that jump shot just went in. Or you see in football, oh, he just flicks it. Michael Vick used to flick it weird with his left, and the thing would go 70 yards on a dart. That was a beautiful football. Taysom Hill does not qualify to be in this, as you do all of the research for these shows, Elias Sports Bureau, we can use Andy, our researcher. Every one of our stats has an asterisk by it that says qualified as a starter. You have to have a body of work to even enter these conversations to be compared. And he has no body of work.
If you look at it, he said, take a look at Baltimore. It's the same kind of guy. He's not even the runner that Lamar is. So they're not. There's no similarities.
Mm.
Like, Lamar is more elusive. He's bigger than Lamar. He seems to be. He runs probably a little harder. He's not as elusive. He's not as fast. It's the same.
I will say this, though, TJ. He would be the perfect backup quarterback for Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The perfect backup quarterback.
But Taysom Hill, because he plays so few snaps, he's really aggressive in his running.
Good point.
You can't run the ball 20 times like he does into people and play
quarterback.
Yeah, he looks for contact because he knows I'm only going to play 15 to 20 snaps max. You try to play the entire game doing that, you're going to last two games.
Was this to put a battery in the back of Taysom Hill in terms of perception in case the Drew Brees situation doesn't work? Hey, you got somebody who can throw the ball as well as the unanimous MVP, because I'm not fully understanding the motivation other than you just see the guy.
I'm thinking it's just a fan. It's a coach who's a big fan of Taysom Hill. Just saying, this kid is a unbelievable. You should see him throw the football. He throws the football better than Lamar Jackson.
I'm
going to give you another reason why, though, and it is about this dude really likes Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is the likable Tim Tebow. This guy, the reason why he was late to football, he went off and did religious mission work, blah. I guarantee you there's not anybody in New Orleans like, man, this is an incredible human being, person, humble, love him. And so he just wants this guy desperately to get a chance. So he said something ridiculous. But
I hate when likability comes into sports. Right. I hate it.
And it is disrespectful to Lamar Jackson, the NFL MVP. That it is disrespectful to associate him directly with that.
Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Rick Bucher. All right, let's move to Philadelphia, where the Clippers fell to the 76ers 110-103 last night. L.A. struggled to contain Philadelphia's big men, giving up 58 points in the paint with a frustrated Marcus Morris getting into it with Joel Embiid. Meanwhile, Paul George couldn't get anything going on offense, shooting just 3 for 15 and scoring just 11 points. Marcellus.
What?
Not the last time I'll ask this question. Does this Clippers loss to the Sixers raise concerns?
Nah.
I'm shocked.
It depends on how you look at the Clippers, because what I saw is they just hit us where it hurts. We already had a concern about our big play down low in the paint. And what did they do? Abuse us in the paint. What did they do? Use Embiid. We fronted them. We were trying to deny on the ball. We would foul him or he would get his off. And we know that's our soft spot. We know that that's going to be our kryptonite, if you want to say what can you do to attack the Clippers. No team is perfect, so we don't expect that any other team is not going to have their weaknesses as well. That said, we're not trying to win every regular season game. I hope you guys got that memo. You know who our leader is. I don't want to say that they're going out there sometimes mild-mannered or not full throttle, but there are certainly going to be waves in terms of energy being expended in these moments. So for me, it didn't raise a huge concern because I saw what a team can do effectively against us actually work, but I already knew that.
You are actually more concerned than I thought you would be.
I'm coming off
you're,
like that.
You're a little concerned because obviously they were looking to shore up those front line issues at the trade deadline, and that was one of the reasons why they got Marcus Morris. I am not the least bit concerned because of the context of the Philadelphia 76ers, one, have been incredibly dominant at home. They have the best home record of any team in the league. They also had something to prove last night because of the social media firestorm that Joel Embiid started and the whole question, can Ben Simmons and Joel play together? They played like a house on fire. The 76ers had something to prove. The Clippers had something to discover, which is, how do we use Marcus Morris in this frontline mix? They did a couple of different things, but they didn't show you the full package of what they're capable of doing if they need to defend a big. I saw Marcus Morris playing down the stretch. I saw the experiment of playing him at the five. I saw him knocking down shots and not getting in the way of the other guys. And oh, by the way, I saw Paul George have an incredibly off night.
Yes.
And they were, and the game was right there for the taking. If they call the Joel Embiid travel on his taking and putting back his own missed shot without touching anything, maybe this game goes another direction. So I in no way looked at this and said that this is a troubling sign for the Clippers. In fact, if anything, seeing how Marcus Morris sort of seamlessly fit into the rotation, I was thinking, This is going to look good. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
What does he look like against the Clippers? If Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons could do this, what can Giannis do against the Clippers? Or is that a different animal?
It's a different animal because of the pieces around him. You have to fight two battles here. The 76ers are big across the board. So you have to deal with Ben Simmons, and then you have to deal with Joel Embiid. And oh, by the way, you got to deal with Tobias Harris, who is your larger-than-average athletic wing. You just have Giannis to deal with. and I got multiple defenders to go against him. And in either of these cases, I can kind of match up with Ben one-on-one, and then I can do some trickeration in order to handle Embiid. I can certainly do that with Giannis.
Well, the reason I'm concerned, maybe to the slightest degree, is I like to scout myself. Look, we know that if you're going to attack us, this is the way you're going to attack us. And so far, even with Marcus Morris only being here for a few games, we haven't fixed that situation yet. Montrezl Harrell, undersized, but tremendous heart. Zubac has the size, but needs to get dropped off on the other side of the 110 for a few minutes and then get that gangster up in him, because he's been in situations where he's been tempered so many times that, yes, I don't think he knows how to flex mentally and just feel comfortable in the position he's in. But like you said, Lou Williams, Paul George, Marcus Morris, Zubac, even Montrez had subpar games, and we still were in this thing.
I'm going to go to this, and maybe it made too great of an impression on me, but when they've played the Lakers, yeah, and you got to deal with LeBron James, and then you've got to deal with Anthony Davis on the post. They ran multiple bodies at Anthony Davis, and they wore him down, and he didn't have anything in the fourth quarter. Neither did LeBron James. But I haven't seen that same focus and exertion. I certainly didn't see it last night. That would be my concern.
That is my concern, yeah, in terms of, look, the NBA playoffs are about stretches of greatness.
100%.
And they don't seem interested at all in having a stretch of greatness during the regular season.
Yeah.
They feel like, well, we'll just save that for the postseason. And I know that Toronto, 58-24 last year in the regular season, the number two seed, but I felt like Toronto played with a bit more urgency, a bit more vigor during the regular season than what we're seeing from the Clippers on a consistent basis.
I would agree with you. The Clippers were crowned from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
The Toronto Raptors were not. They had something to prove.
Yeah.
If the Clippers are still doing this up and down, we're not giving you 48 minutes, and I agree with you, that's something that you have to cultivate and get used to, playing locked in for 48 minutes, and they have not done that. If they're still doing this in March, anytime past the All-Star break, really, if we're still seeing this in March and April, then it'll be time for concern. Yeah.
All right, to a team everyone is concerned about, the Knicks, who had another embarrassing day yesterday, with team image consultant Steve Stout giving a bizarre interview in which he compared himself to Drake and said the team would fire interim coach Mike Miller. The team distanced itself from Stout's comments, which will be one of many messes agent Leon Rose will have to deal with when he takes over as team president sometime in the near future. Do we think Leon Rose can clean up the Knicks' mess?
Absolutely. I love how you asked that, though, the tone of it. When we all know that the solutions are in the problem. So translation of that means everything can be fixed. And I'm looking at a Los Angeles Lakers team right now that in part was fixed because of Magic Johnson's presence. Now, for those who don't know who Leon Rose is, may not be a household name, but certainly the cred is respected in the industry and with the players he represents. I think because he could come in there and be a mechanism that gets this franchise that is the most valued in the NBA, has tremendous brand equity, and what player is not engaged to go to the Knicks and restore the roar? So Magic Johnson was able to grab LeBron James for whatever reason. LeBron didn't meet with Jeannie Buss, didn't meet with Luke Walton, met with Magic. And I think Leon Rose is going to borrow a page from that playbook because of the cred, because of the equity, because of the respect that people will give Leon Rose. You can do a fix. This was a Lakers team that went, 6 years without a playoffs? And now they're the number one seed. No growing pains. Just went from bottom to the top in terms of what success we've seen in the regular season. He could do that with the Knicks.
Absolutely not. Because who do you think hired Steve Stout?
Dolan?
Yeah, that would be Jim Dolan. Mm. Who do you think put Steve Stout out there? The imaging consultant. Now, last I checked, an imaging consultant doesn't actually go out there and become the image. He does. He's behind the scenes. So what are we doing? Who do you think sent Steve Mills and Scott Perry out there to do that press conference 12 games into the season to give everybody a referendum on their coach?
Yeah, him.
That was Jim Dolan.
Yeah, him.
That's the one common denominator. And I should have learned this, because I really, I drank the Kool-Aid. Mm. When Jim Dolan said, I'm taking a step back, I'm not involving myself, I thought, okay, Steve Mills, Scott Perry. Scott Perry's going to get an opportunity. He's been with great franchises. He knows what it takes. He's going to get that opportunity to build this thing. Mm. And then it's the same old story. I should have learned it when Donnie Walsh got undercut. He's had plenty of accomplished executives, executives who are better and more proven as GMs.
Phil Jackson?
Yeah. Than Leon Rose. Hello?
Phil Jackson had got more clout than virtually almost anybody.
Yeah,
in that regard.
So, guys certainly with more experience.
Isaiah Thomas.
What? So the idea that Leon Rose is going to come in there and transform Jim Dolan. Well, you're asking me to buy something. History tells me there's no changing that.
Well, to restore the roar, whatever you want to say, redemption in terms of the Warriors and Clippers, there was a change of ownership that occurred that changed everything.
Right.
With the Lakers, not so much. I know we give a lot of respect because we love Jeannie Buss, but she had no track record as the owner of the Lakers in this position as a winner. And then things changed around because she didn't change. She employed someone who could bring change.
I'm going to disagree with you, Marshall.
Okay, I'm going.
I'm going to disagree with
you. Let's go.
One person, and this will sound shocking coming from me, there's only one person responsible for the change in the Lakers, and his name's LeBron James. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
He decided to come here. I could have been the team president. He decided to come here. Then Rich Paul made Anthony Davis come here. It's LeBron James. Short of LeBron James moving to New York, it's going to be tough. And I'm a defender of Jim Dolan because the New York Rangers have had success. And so this whole deal that Jim Dolan's the worst things, and maybe he does make bad suggestions. Who knows? Maybe in basketball, that's his kryptonite or whatever. But somebody's responsible for this dude going on TV yesterday and acting like he matters, like he's the same as Drake. I'm like, Drake, we talk about Mike Westhoff disrespecting Lamar Jackson.
You ain't
Steve Sounder. You Drake now? Well, I mean, really?
Well, I'm a big fan of Steve Sounder because he's made a few Drakes in this world in terms of imagery and what he's done.
Oh, he's Dr. Dre, huh?
No, look. Jay-Z billionaire status came from a lot of the acumen of Steve Stout in the earlier days, but I don't want to bore y'all with hip hop. Y'all remember what we used to do in math class when we used to have to go out there and make equations and say for Magic Johnson to LeBron, there's Leon Rose to question mark. LeBron's not the best player in the NBA right now. Now, there is a situation where the best player or players would consider the New York Knicks. And that's what Leon Rose, CAA relationship and relationship with players can give them. You're right. It takes a transcendent player, I should say, to come. But there are available transcendent players going forward. There is no concrete under the shoes of Anthony Davis right now staying still in Los Angeles if this doesn't work out. And there are others on that list that if you bring them to New York, package them around what Leon Rose is capable of doing.
LeVar Arrington and Steve Berline are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day.
Yeah.
All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to Whitlock's guy, Eric Bieniemy. The Chiefs offensive coordinator got snubbed for NFL head coaching jobs. But the college where he played ball at, the University of Colorado, just lost their head coach, Mel Tucker, who decided to move on to Michigan State. The job opening had a lot of people thinking Bieniemy might want to jump on the chance to be head coach at his old school. I want to ask you guys, would leaving the NFL make sense for Eric Bieniemy?
Hell yeah. These guys in college are making a bunch of money as head coaches, the opportunity to prove that you're a head coach. Bill Walsh had to do it, had to go to Stanford.
Hell no, because, hey, Mel Tucker not only left after saying, no, I'm not going to leave, didn't even say bye to the players. Peace. So, yeah, Michigan State, maybe you're making a ton of money. Colorado, obviously, is not as great as advertised. Two, Eric Bieniemy had his issues being in Colorado before. Do you want to return to the scene of those crimes, whatever they were? Y'all do your own research. Three,
I'm riding the wave of Patrick Mahomes and these weapons because I'm going to get credit for that, and this is a closer distance to my goal of being a head coach in the NFL by staying as a coordinator in the NFL with these weapons and the MVP.
Mm. Hell yes, it makes sense. Mm. It does make sense for two reasons. One, he's got to get out of the very big shadow, I mean the huge shadow of Andy Reid. As long as he stays in Kansas City, Andy Reid is going to get credit for that offense. Everybody knows he's calling the plays. Everybody knows that it's his offense. So I think Eric Bieniemy needs to get out of there to show he can do it on his own. Two, I think it's a perfect fit at Colorado. My daughter's a junior there right now. When I go back for a game and I watch and I listen and I talk to people, he's held in very high regard there. And I think the university, if they commit to him, they're going to give him a chance to build that program and grow with it. Unless he falls flat on his face and shows that he can't handle it, he's going to get the opportunity to build that program. And I think it's a great way for him to prove himself. And then if he wants to get back in the NFL, jump back in the NFL.
Hell no.
We going back and forth.
And I'm going to tell you why. Leaving from underneath Andy Reid, sure. Going to Colorado, surely not. You go to Colorado, there's too much of a rebuild. It's too competitive and recruiting. Recruiting wars are what separates
NFL's
and differentiates.
NFL's not competitive.
You can go be a good coach in college, but in order to be able to transition to back into the league and be a head coach, he's going to have to win the recruiting war at the college.
He's an LA kid. He's from LA.
Yeah.
Tucker's been winning the recruiting wars of Colorado, including Jerry Rice's son, who really has no business going there. They've been getting a lot of good recruits in Colorado.
I can't go with that. I think in that pack, man, it is very, very competitive, and Colorado is not even in the peripheral.
No.
It's not even in vision. It's not even in view. I think it's too much of a risk where he's at right now.
Did you just see what PJ Fleck has done?
Okay.
Went to Minnesota, another one of these schools where you allegedly can't win.
If you're a head coach. But he has too much at stake. Fleck doesn't have that much at stake as Eric.
He can go get
does.
Paid $2.5-3 million at his alma mater to be a head coach. And we sneeze it. Oh, don't do that.
But,
are you kidding me?
You can mess up your opportunity.
You
if he's trying to be a head coach in the league, I think you could.
Man, let's stop.
You could tragically
aren't
mess
you
up your
a
opportunity.
Head coach? This ain't early 90s co-national champion Colorado. This is 5-7, 5-7, 5-7, 2 stars. Like, you know the high school level. When you get a Colorado letter right now, you're like, okay, I'm going to get to that. But where are my big letters?
Yeah,
like, let's just be
letters.
Respectful and be real at the same time. This, even in success, it won't be looked at the same. And I don't understand why if Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, LaFleur, others, Andy Reid disciples, all got enough cred to get their head coaching experiences and jobs. How come it can't work out for Bieniemy? Anybody?
And the Minnesota coach had one good season. Can he be consistent? If he's consistent,
He wanted Western Michigan. That's how he got the job. Urban Meyer wanted Bowling Green, Utah.
And he's going to have to do it. I'm glad you brought Urban up. He's going to have to do what Urban did.
Coaches are great coaches wherever they show up.
True.
I got to watch what I say about Bieniemy because people can't handle the truth. But until I start hearing these Chiefs players say the things that everybody on the broadcast booth is saying about Eric Bieniemy, I'm going to just be a little bit skeptical.
All right, Speak for Yourself is going to Vegas next Wednesday. We take the show on the road and come to you live from the MGM Grand Sportsbook as we look ahead to the Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury rematch. Audience check-in is at 11 a.m., we'll have great guests and giveaways, so come and join the fun. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Time for the most fearless discussion of the day. Let's move to Carolina, where Cam Newton said recently that he hopes to be back with the Panthers next year and made a point to sing the praises of the team's new owner, David Tepper. But it's not clear that Tepper feels the same way, giving a very interesting answer yesterday when asked about Cam's future with the team.
I've said again and again and again about it's a question of how healthy he is, foot and otherwise, and that's still the number one overwhelming thing to see how healthy he is and how we can figure out when he's healthy or not. And, you know, everything comes from that. Listen, I'm not a doctor. You know, I said it a million times. Is he good? Is he healthy? And how does, I mean, he's not a doctor. So, you know, there's a lot of different things can happen. But first is he healthy? Tell me that and then we can talk.
And then his next comment is going to be, how long can he stay healthy?
Oh, you already know.
And so, does it sound like the Panthers want Cam Newton back?
No, he gone. He's gone.
raising my hand for being injury prone, raising my hand knowing this circumstance intimately in terms of why I left the Chargers, because you are injury prone. When I heard him use the word, the dog whistle, the health. Oh, that's such a vague term that you can always move it in terms of what do you mean? Do you mean healthy, clean bill of health when I show up day one? Or do you mean, oh, because I've been hurt before, that every play you're holding your breath because my bill of health is always outstanding? Mm-hmm. And they're going to use that against him. As simple as that. His style of play, his age, and the fact that you want to move on, you have a convenient out right now by saying the general term of health. And trust me, it's going to change its definition over the course of this offseason, no matter how Cam comes back and performs.
Yeah, he's good as gone. He doesn't want, am I a doctor? The doctors have told you what's probably going to happen. He's going to come back in good health or he's not. Why? I don't know why he just won't say we're going to move on. Maybe it's the backlash he probably would get from the fans. But he's looking, since 2015 when the Panthers went to the Super Bowl, they're 15-1. Cam Newton has been a 500 quarterback. And he hasn't been healthy consistently. They don't want him back. It's a new head coach, new offense, new owner. They're just going to start fresh with a new quarterback.
He said, how can we figure out if he's healthy? Like, what kind of a question does an owner, like, how do you pose that back to the media when you're being asked? Plus, he looked irritated. His body language was uncomfortable.
Yep.
He was a tad bit irritated. I almost took from what he was saying, I'm asking these people the same thing. I'm asking this medical staff the same thing you guys are asking me, and I'm getting the same response every single day. I'm telling you what I know. Y'all come talk to me so I can talk to them when y'all tell me what his health is. He's over it. Like, the Cam's health issue to him, to Tepper, he's over it. So you'd have to believe that this is it.
I think there's two issues with Cam. Health and attitude, they have questions about. They're putting Cam in a spot right now in terms of, can he humble himself and will he take this tough love that the ownership is dishing out? He had been pampered by Jerry Richardson, a father-like figure to him. Now they're trying to humble him. And the other thing, again, I always go back to, this guy is now, David Tepper's the richest owner in football, and I love to analogize him to Steve Ballmer, the richest owner in sports, yeah. American sports. They always want the best, period, end of story. When Steve Ballmer, I'm going to go out and get the best. Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to hire some dude from Sports Illustrated to help me do a narrative, and I'm going to do everything possible to get Kawhi Leonard and get my team. I think when I listen to David Tepper, he's still all in on Joe Burrow.
Oh, until they're going to get him.
Yeah, and he feels like he's going to get him. And then, if that doesn't work out, then we'll go back and look at Cam's health reports. Then we'll go back and check Cam's attitude. And then we'll have something to talk about. He didn't say, then we'll, bring him back. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, let me add to that, because that is exactly what's happening. So when you're being evaluated, especially in sports situations, always ask yourself the question, what's their rooting interest? Like, behind closed door, what do they want to happen optimally? And if you look at this situation, it's a half empty, half full. You could either play up his imperfections or you could downplay his imperfections, depending on what you really want to happen. Right now, in this moment, because of the forecast of the draft and what they want to see on their roster in terms of temperament, they're looking at his imperfections and highlighting them and trying to say health. And didn't hide behind that code word, which we all know that all of us are banged up. So what do you mean health coming off an injury? If Cam Newton was 2016 Cam Newton coming off the MVP season with a Liz Frank in the offseason, you know what they would be saying? Can't wait for him to get back. Can't wait for him to get back. Now they're trying to give us this vague space like they don't know what they're up to. When we all know behind closed doors, they're already saying what they want.
But he could also be doing this to see, maybe I can get a draft pick from Cam. His salary is not that high. If I say, let me see, maybe somebody will give us a late round draft pick. I didn't want to say it, but 100% I believe the Carolina Panthers are going to try to move up in the draft and get Joe Burrow. They're going to try to start fresh. You got a good young running back. You got a good young receiver. That's what they're going to try to do, whether the Bengals do it or not. I'm sure Joe Brady has gone in those meetings saying, we got to get him. But maybe they're just probably holding on to this saying, maybe a team like the Chargers, maybe another team will give us a late round draft pick.
I respect the poker.
I feel like that's a horrible poker hand being played, though, if that's what he's going for, because to me, I would be hyping it up to try to drive his value up. Only reason why I would answer and respond the way that Tepper has responded is if I'm just looking at it basically from I really want, like, I think he genuinely really wants to know what Cam Newton's health is.
Let me tell you what possibly. I'm not 100% committed on this. I just thought about it through. He, by being out on Cam the way that he is, that's another signal to Joe Burrow, man, we really into you. We need you to stand up for us right now. Go tell these Bengals you don't want to play here. We are really committed to you. We will disrespect Cam Newton publicly.
We will disrespect
him.
Watch.
Hire your offensive coordinator.
Watch what we do.
We will hire your offensive coordinator. Again, have you ever really wanted something? And it's like there's no lengths to the manner. You know, everybody can catch this collateral damage.
And it's what you said, though. People that had that money, they feel like, I'm going to get what I want regardless, and I'm going to go anyway, any means to get it.
But why drive his value? Like, I think this puts his value in.
Because they don't really care, though, honestly.
They might feel Cam's trade value so low that Joe Burrow's desire to be here is more important than whatever we get for Cam in return.
If I was Cam, I'd start packing up my crib like, babe, get the stuff, call the packing company. Right. He said, when I get healthy. Right. Like,
grab the scarves. The scarves, baby. It's a wrap. We out.
LeVar Arrington and TJ Husmanzada are back. All right, let's move to Antonio Brown, who has been on an apology tour the last few weeks, trying to make amends to everyone he's crossed in the past year, including the NFL, the police, and the Steelers. Now he's getting a little more specific, sending out an apology to his old QB, Ben Roethlisberger, posting a pic of the two of them on Instagram with the caption, "Mostly, you're a little bit of me. Yee yee. I never realized how good I had it. Got caught up in my emotion with everyone coming after me. I really apologize for my actions. Sincerely, man, it's never been another connection like what we had done the past decade. I appreciate you. Sincerely, A.B.
Yee yee.
Yee yee.
Yee yee.
Should the Steelers consider bringing back Antonio Brown?
Hell no. We are not running this back. Sorry for the nostalgia. Sorry for the redemption value here, but no, no, no. And I really equate this, saw this a lot in high school. You got you an A student who also is a class clown, so you can't look at him any way, really. Like, he handles his business, but damn, it's a lot to work with. And that guy creates an anxiety that you don't really take notice of fully until they're gone. Then you realize, wait a minute. It's a lot less work to work with everyone else. And this closed fist that may be lesser in value and talent, I actually get more out of. Why would you now want to insert someone who will certainly change the equation in terms of value, but the anxiety and the issues and getting it out of them? No, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to consider it.
Oh.
And it seems like he's maturing. I said it when this happened, too. I don't know when it was. I said he doesn't realize how good he has it with Ben Roethlisberger. And he's starting to see that. But do you consider it? Of course you consider it. You go to Ben first and say, Ben, you cool with it? If Ben says no, okay, I'm not considering it anymore. But if Ben is okay with it, I talk with Ben, I talk with Juju, because he disrespected Juju also. And if they're okay with it, then I consider it. Is it a possibility if it happened? I'm going to say no. He wants to play with Tom Brady. So wherever Tom Brady goes, he's going to try to get there. That's his first option. But do I consider it if I'm the Steelers? Absolutely.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. Because of Antonio Brown, this team, this coach, had to go through so much scrutiny, so much criticism. They had to endure this season. So much to the point of where people were
asking. He wasn't even there. How they enduring something when he ain't there?
Hold on. Let me get there.
Make that add up, cuz. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Even to the point of where this man's job was on the line as the head coach because he did not, they did not feel as though he may have control over his locker room. They went through it and have gotten through it, and they're probably on the other side of it because of the way the season ended and how they fought to be playoff contenders. If those guys, him, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, are the reasons why, and more so AB, are the reason why we had to go through this, I'm not going to revisit that. I'm not even going to entertain revisiting that.
Look.
We've already come through it.
You go.
Well, the key word is consider.
Hell yeah, no.
No, I can't.
We know the word. Okay, we read that.
I'm with T. No consider?
No consideration.
I am the biggest AB fan up here. You remember I was his public defender all the way through.
Yeah, you stepped down. I remember that.
Hell yeah. You stepped down. The Bills weren't getting paid. Yeah. What the hell are you doing? Nah, I respect him. He's going to get a job. He deserves a job. I love this level of contrition. I love all of this. Not with Pittsburgh. Big Ben, one, you can't go to him and ask him because the whole owner's mentality, you can't empower that.
Who's going to know that they asked Ben that besides Ben in the front office?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Second of all, Juju, Juju ain't got enough stripes to be asking, is it okay for AB or not, because AB's still better than Juju. So here's my thing. I'm looking at it like Tomlin has to make an assessment how much work it was just to work with AB. And then you think that now he's like, I want to do it again. Did they win a Super Bowl with AB?
No.
So what is it worth? Like, what did he
mean? He didn't even play last year, and he's still number one in every category.
I'm going to just tell you why y'all wrong. Just consider, man. Look, man, Big Ben's got 2 years left, probably maybe. Tops. Mm-hmm. They are in a win Super Bowl now mode. And so somebody who they had a lot of success with is showing signs of like
maturing.
I'm gonna behave better, and so I'm just. I
want to go.
Who sings
y'all?
If you think you're lonely now? Wait until the night.
Casey and JoJo.
No, that ain't Casey and JoJo. They did the remake.
They did the remake.
But anyway,
Bobby Womack.
Bobby Womack. Yeah, there we go. Bobby Womack. And so, look, that's what's going on right now.
With AB, though.
Now, I agree. Mm. But Pittsburgh as well. They did not make the playoffs.
Mike Tomlin,
they
need, Bobby Womack.
They need to, again, and he put her out there, and look how she's behaving. She wants to come back. She's learned her lesson, is what Bobby Womack is saying.
But in that song,
potentially.
Bobby Womack did not take the shorty back. I'm telling you, if you think you're lonely now, because you treated me this way, wait till tonight.
That doesn't mean
it's
he doesn't
for
regret
AB.
It.
I ain't bringing you back.
Hot,
I ain't bringing you back.
Can we all agree here? Yeah. When you go back to your old spot, it triggers old ways. Like, when I go back to the neighborhood, I say a word or two.
I'm glad you hit it. Because I was about to touch it.
That's a great point.
I'm glad you brought
it
up.
I'm like, wait a minute. I got four kids, man. I'm out here. What you doing? Like, I'm not the same exact guy. Temptation and then overcoming temptation is always easy in your mind and in your creative space. You know what? Starting now, I'm going to do this. That ain't the problem, bro. It's when someone challenges your new mindset and your new place. How you respond
to
that?
Get the week two. You get two targets.
Two targets.
You got one catch.
Juju got eight.
You got 13 yards.
Oh, Juju got 100.
100 plus 100 yards.
100 plus.
And y'all win the game. Wait, y'all won the game? Y'all didn't lose. Well, what's the problem? Game,
like,
I ain't get the ball. You know how y'all be acting.
I know that.
Y'all know how y'all be acting. Y'all the worst when y'all don't get what y'all want.
When you're in that situation, inside you're boiling.
Boiling.
Outside you like,
but you're going to be able to see it.
This the right way.
Everybody going to be like this.
Yeah, yeah, you got stale face.
Everybody gonna be looking at AB like,
what just happened this year?
You know how AB had his camera on?
So all equity is gone for him. You have no more equity. No more built up
equity. It doesn't matter.
You can put him on the right terms now. I'm not saying do it. I'm saying
like the Patriots did.
You're wrong.
He wasted all the equity before. You think he ain't gonna waste it again? And he's thin skinned. I love AB, but you're gonna be able to see his pain.
After boiling on the inside this year. You don't think he realizes, like, this is it?
He's in the wrong situation to realize it because he's going to go back. He's going to get some love from people who are going to say, what happened to AB? Like, it's just a tug of war of emotions, and you're looking at things that triggers back old behaviors, and guys are looking at you like, why are you so different?
To a counselor every week like you.
But what if you don't play as well?
You never know.
It works.
Yes.
However, if you go back to the same place, the scene of the crime, and you are different,
and you don't have the same production,
then you ain't gonna be the same person.
Oh, they on your
head,
man.
It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it.
As long as Seven is back there throwing that ball, his production is gonna be.
You think Seven gonna forget everything?
No, he's not.
Probably. Juju's his guy. I didn't say do it, but I think we both made a case of why it should be considered.
Yeah.
The amount of time on the clock left on this segment be the amount of time they consider it.
Coming up. Zero. Okay, there you go.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Dak Prescott. But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
Big dummy of the day goes to the person at the top of the hour, at the top of the show said, I look like a cross between Barney and Prince. Hell, you look like Barney ate Prince. That's what the hell you look like.
That's cool. Leave my dog alone.
By the way, is that your hair? Is that
your hair?
It is my hair.
Well, all right, then.
Ooh, the world going to have fun with that one.
Let's talk about
we both got receipts. Come on, man.
Who made it clear he thinks he's worth $40 million in an interview with Yahoo Sports' Kimberly Martin. Dak's already said he won't be near the team facility while his new deal gets worked out. Marcellus,
yes.
Is Dak a lock to be the Cowboys starter week one?
Absolutely, because they know they can always throw the franchise tag on him, and sooner than later, he would show up and be the leader of this Cowboys organization. Obviously, he wants his money, $35 million north, maybe as much as $40 million, but trust me, he'll be under center because he wants that money and he deserves it.
Yeah, it's a lock, but there is a 1% chance the door could get unlocked, so I'll just say that. But
Tom Brady.
I've had some time. Who are you supposed to be? I hope it's not who I think you think you think.
I know who it is with that. Shorts and shoes.
Let me put it like this.
Yeah.
Coming up, I'm going to tell you why your new edition jokes are deader than Aaron Hernandez. And in 43 seconds, we'll have the most fearless take on sports coming from Uncle Jimmy. But we're going to stop. But first, let's start in Dallas with your take on Dak Prescott. And see, this reminds me of your phrase.
Oh, man.
With friends like these, who needs enemies? You said, I love Dak Prescott, but I wouldn't pay that man all that money. Man, you do this mess all the time. I love Big Ben, but he's too immature for me. I love Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But he cares more about wearing a bonnet. Or how about this one? I love LeBron just as much as the rest of you. But he's a puppet of communist China.
Yes. That part.
All just to promote racial injustice in our country.
Wow.
But I love him.
That is him.
Okay, but your take, I'm going to be honest, it reminds me of your favorite TV show, The Wire.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason I still remember The Wire, because you bring it up every day. Well, what'd he say? What'd he say, Douglas?
What?
Y'all remember Clay Davis?
Yeah.
That state senator from the South Side? I don't know nobody remember that dude.
Nobody. Until you bring
nobody.
It up.
Nobody.
Until you bring it up.
Look, man, to be honest with you, I'm surprised that you didn't compare Dak Prescott to Colin Kaepernick.
It's been
3 days since you don't let his name come out your mouth? Gotta be a personal record for you. Look here, man, let me tell you something. The man sells shoes. He don't play football no more. Can you please leave him alone?
Foot Locker.
I'll try.
And please, in the name of sweet black baby Jesus, can you please stop comparing Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, and Jimmy Garoppolo to Ralph Tresvant, Johnny Gill, and Bobby Brown, or any other member of New Edition?
What's
Look,
the matter
man,
with
I
that?
Know, I know, that's Why the not? Only cassette deck your mama let you have through your teenage years. But you need to branch out. Look here, man, I'm just letting you know, you're getting old. Your references is old.
Yes.
Look, man, and this could explain why the only thing you remember about O.J. Simpson is him slashing through the backfield. You seem to forget all the rest on that backside. But nonetheless, just like you, I'm a digress. Okay? Anyway, listen here. Coming up next, Uncle Jimmy's going to tell you why he should be the highest paid player on Speak for Yourself. Coming up next.
Some of your best work. Not bad.
Great.
I'm going to get to my approval rating for Dak Prescott. Not bad, Uncle Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went up 4 points in authenticity. He kept it real. He wants $40 million. He put it in the air. 58. role player, Dak Prescott?
I got him at 64. Still a role player. Went up in job performance. He killed the interview. And also,
so did Kimberly Martin.
Yeah, she did. And also in character, because he's flexing a little more. You can see the confidence, and
that
not going to be around the star unless I get paid.
So did Kimberly Martin.
I like it.
All right, the internet disagrees with both of us. They got him in the scout team. 49%, 24% dump supply. That seems harsh.